The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Good afternoon, everyone, and hello from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm on the road with San Jose Sharks. I will be on tonight's broadcast with Dan Ruzanowski, filling in as the color commentator, and we are getting ready for a big game for the San Jose Sharks. Big on the one hand, because yes, they are going up against their rivals, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and I think we can all agree that this rivalry is starting to churn once again. More on that in a bit. But also for the San Jose Sharks, since their 0-4-2 start to the season, they have not lost more than two games in a row, and that is put to the test tonight after they finished that homestand with losses to Dallas as well as Seattle. Disappointing because in the game against Dallas, it looked like they were turning the tide. It looked like they were going to take over that game. They were unable to do so, and you give a lot of credit to Dallas for being able to handle their business. And then in the game against Seattle, those two fluky goals that gave Seattle a 2-2 tie and a 3-2 lead took the wind out of the sails of the Sharks in that game. They were not able to regather their momentum, and now they find themselves in a difficult situation against a Vegas team that has not been playing their best hockey as of late and is probably looking to get back on the winning side of things themselves. So the challenges are abundant for the San Jose Sharks. Good news is that Colin Graf is in Vegas. He flew in last night after taking a puck to the face yesterday that required some stitches. As reported by Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now, he said that some of the guys on the team are calling him Scarface. I think Graf looks great. I think he's got a big scar on his face for the time being that'll heal up, and you'll barely be able to notice it in a short order. But right now, he looks legit. He looks kind of tough and scary. You usually don't mess with guys who have scars on their faces. So yeah, I think it's a good look for Colin Graf. And also it shows you how much Graf has really made himself an important part of what the Sharks are doing out there on the ice. He is a dangerous, dynamic winger. He plays on the penalty kill. His defense is solid. He's been a consistent scorer for San Jose. And I see no reason why that is going to slow down for the young Shark, who has been playing better and better with each passing week with San Jose. But Dan and I did talk a lot about where the Sharks are and where they are going earlier this morning as we met at morning skate from T-Mobile Arena.
All right, we are here early in the morning at T-Mobile Arena as we get ready for the San Jose Sharks to play their final game before a three-day holiday break. I'm here with the voice of the San Jose Sharks, Dan Ruzanowski. Dan, what's going on? How are you doing this morning?
Well, I am great because we're in a hockey rink and the Sharks are in the NHL, last time I checked, and it's the best league in the world. And we're in Vegas, the entertainment capital of the world, getting ready for another rivalry game just before Christmas. And I'm excited about that, excited about the opportunity that the Sharks have here against the Vegas team that is also struggling. They haven't won in three straight games, so they would like to keep that going here in Vegas. The Sharks do, and a victory in this building, which is so hard to get in the regular season, would be a great way to put a cherry on top of the sundae going into Christmas.
We have not seen the San Jose Sharks lose three games in a row since that 0-4-2 start to the year. Since then, they've been able to limit it to two games. That is obviously being put to the test tonight, maybe in the most difficult way, going up against a Vegas team that, A, wants to get right after not having performed well in their last few games, but B, even with the injuries they're dealing with, they are still a very, very dangerous, talented, and deep team.
They are. I don't think we won't see Theodore tonight, and I doubt that we're going to see Eichel, although we're going to find out about that in a little bit. But they still have just so much ability. You know, the last time that they played the Sharks, it was a 4-3 close game. Sharks had the lead, and then Vegas ran up 4-1 lead, and then the Sharks came back and made it a close one with William Eklund getting that late goal. But this is going to be all the way to the end. They're facing a team that's got good special teams. They've scored a power play goal to my count in five straight games. So the Sharks' penalty killing is going to be tested. They've missed Vinny Desharnais in that regard. And I think that they're going to have to be very disciplined.
The maybe most frustrating part about the last few games for San Jose is that they've given themselves a chance. They've had opportunities. I think that game against Dallas, they had started to tilt the ice and really take over that game. Very much we saw in the same way against Pittsburgh, very much in the same way we saw against Calgary, and even in that game against Toronto, where they're, as a young team, learning how to do that kind of at will. And it reminds me of when you and I used to talk about Colorado before the Sharks played them in that 2019 Western Conference Final, where they were figuring it out. Now, obviously, they're not at that point yet, but we're starting to see those signs that the Sharks are not just a team that can run with that momentum, but can create that momentum.
Well, here we are at just about at Christmas, and the Sharks are 2 points out of the playoffs. And to me, that's something that they had as a goal for the season. They're starting to understand not what only what winning looks like, but also what winning feels like. And I think that that's a topic I'm going to have a chat with Ryan Warsawski about on the Coach's Chalkboard Show, so stay tuned for that. I think that that's an interesting thing to understand about teams. You sort of have an idea what it's like. But if you're Mario Ferraro, you've never been in the playoffs in your six-year NHL career. So even a veteran like that has to understand what it feels like. And that's where people like Tyler Toffoli and Nick Leddy, people that have won the Stanley Cup that are on the roster, can impart that to these guys. And, of course, you've got that combined with the competitive nature of Macklin Celebrini and driving everything. And that's why the Sharks are where they are. And I think that that's something that really is exciting to see develop. And I think we're going to see that during the course of the rest of the year. The question is sustainability, right? They have to hold that up for the rest of the season. And now the next goal would be, you know, on New Year's Day, be in a playoff spot. And then at the trade deadline, be in a playoff spot or challenging for one. And that's where the Sharks have to incrementally take this development. But it gets back to what I was just talking about, understanding what it feels like to win.
One of the guys who's figuring things out at this level very quickly is Igor Chernyshov. Now, we're not sure if he is going to stay up. Obviously, there's many considerations, contract status, things of that nature, whether or not they want to use a year. But, you know, he's played a few games. He's got a point per game. He knows how to skate. He uses his size and physicality, but he's still growing into that frame, only 20 years old. What have you seen from the young winger so far?
Well, what I've seen is a great understanding of what it means to be a professional hockey player. He's got good hockey sense. He has great skill. He can skate. I noticed somebody that still is a little bit young in terms of his body, and that's hard to say given the fact that he's a big boy, but he's not a big man yet. He's going to be, and it's not going to take too long. But I think that this experience at the NHL level right now is going to give him a taste of what has to be done. He's probably feeling the strength of the defenseman quite a bit when he's trying to set up in the offensive zone. And he hasn't gotten really hit hard yet. I'm waiting to see what happens there. But you got to be excited about this kid. I think they stole him in the second round, to be honest. He should have been a first-round pick. And the fact that the Sharks were able to get him, I mean, tip of the hockey helmet to the scouting staff to make sure that they were on him and took him when he was there.
Colin Graf obviously scared everyone by taking a puck off the face yesterday, and we don't know his status per se at this point for tonight's game. But his play, Dan, watching his evolution from where he was when he came in from Quinnipiac a couple of years ago at the end of the season, about half the year last year, and we started to see, hey, that penalty kill. Look at his ability to be a total player out there on the ice. But then right now, the way that he is creating breakaways consistently for himself, the way that he is always in the right place at the right time. I remember I've been long telling you that he reminds me of a younger Logan Couture. I said I didn't know if he had the offensive upside, but the competitiveness, and I think more than anything, Dan, it's the hockey IQ that I see with Graf. That just shines through.
You can be one of three things in order to be successful as an NHL player. You can be stronger than somebody. You can be faster than somebody. Or you can be smarter than somebody. And if you combine two of those three things, you've got yourself an outstanding player. He's got good speed, and he's very smart. I think not just as to his positioning, but also to his stick positioning, where he places his stick. That's one of the reasons why he's such a good two-way player, because he stops the attack in the neutral zone. Sometimes he's the first guy back, but a lot of times he's stopping it in the neutral zone. And that's just a great skill to have. Also, good anticipation. So he's exciting. My guess is we're going to see him in the lineup tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights, because I saw him on the bus, so he is here. But that puck to the mouth just makes him a hockey player.
I just wonder if his mom's found out yet, if he's told her if there's a Christmas miracle of new stitches. That's what everybody mother wants for Christmas. You know, looking at the other young players, one of the guys that's not gotten as much probably run as he should because his game is a lot of away from the puck, but Zach Ostapchuk. And I have enjoyed watching his game, his work rate. He got denied getting his first goal as a Shark the other night on a high tip, which I didn't love the angle that I saw, but that's above my pay grade. But, you know, watching his work rate out there on the ice, Dan, that's what I really appreciate about him.
Well, the other thing he's got is he's got the ability to win faceoffs. And I think that's an area where the Sharks have to be better, and it might be huge tonight because Vegas is a good faceoff team, whether Jack Eichel's playing or not. So that's something that he brings all the time. He's got size, and he's got good skating ability for a guy his size. And it's, you know, he's one of these guys that's just taken him a little while to get marinated in the NHL, to get to feel what it's like to be comfortable and to get enough ice time. And also, let's face it, gain the trust of the coaching staff. But he's done that. He's in the process of getting better at it. And it won't be too long before he gets his first Sharks goal. Maybe tonight.
That would be a good time for it. The fact that the Sharks have been able to play so well without two of their top wingers in Kurashev and Will Smith going down, they've been able to see other guys step up. They've, you know, proven that their forward depth is a strength that maybe we didn't know was there at the start of the year. I think that's largely in part of the play of a guy like Adam Gaudette, who's really impressed. Obviously, we've seen many members of the Barracuda come up right now. It's Chernyshov and Ethan Cardwell. But I wanted to ask you about Cardwell because, to me, he redlines out there on the ice, and he's got a great game board to board. He'll go side to side. He's not afraid to hit. He's got that wrecking ball mentality, which for a guy who is going to be in that middle six or bottom six, you need that mentality. You can't have any hesitation in your game, and there is none in Cardwell's game.
No, and there can't be. That's the way he's going to stay in the NHL. He knows it. That's the beauty of that. I've always said this about him. I just get the sense he's got some leadership capabilities too down the road as he gets experience, whether that's going to be in the American Hockey League or whether that's going to be in the NHL. But he's going to be a valuable member of the organization for that reason. He kills penalties. He gets himself in position. And he's got a nice motor. The motor keeps running hot all the time. And again, that's something that he's going to need to do to stay in the NHL. And he's kind of a pleasure to watch. I enjoy him a lot.
I do as well. A big game for the veterans on this team, for Reeves, for Goodrow, for Alex Wenberg, and go down the list, Mario Ferraro. You know, in terms of their impact on a game like this, where it is putting a stop to a two-game losing streak, going up against a high-quality opponent like Vegas, are they feeling that? Are they talking about that amongst themselves or thinking about it going into this game?
Well, they're thinking about it for sure because they think about everything. These veteran players have every little detail on their mind as they approach each game. That's one of the reasons why they try to do things the same way every game, because it worked last game and they want to make sure they're in those good habits. But I don't think necessarily they have to say too much. I think that their real role in this game tonight is to settle things down if Vegas tries to really push the envelope and take control. And they got to keep calm. They have to make sure that if, let's say, something goes wrong and the puck's in the back of the net, that next shift is hugely important. You know, Ryan Warsawski's really relied on that fourth line. Ostapchuk in the middle right now with Reeves and Goodrow. They've been really consistent at getting the team back on track. And I think that getting back on track is maybe the biggest value all those veteran players will bring tonight.
I think a guy who wants to get back on track with his scoring is William Eklund, who has been snake bit a little bit as of late. He's created opportunities. He's had shots. He's had looks. You saw the other night against Seattle, Decord made some great stops against him, which you got to take your hat off from our perspective. I'm sure from Eklund's perspective, that's not how he's thinking of it. But to me, it feels like he's due for a breakthrough, and it would be perfect timing if that happened tonight.
It sure would. And, you know, he scored a goal against Vegas the last time they played. That was the third goal that got the Sharks back into the game. They just kind of ran out of time because they were down 4-1 in that game against the Knights at the end of November. So, yeah, maybe this is a good night for him to do it. He's got that work ethic. The weird thing is he's -6 in his last two games, and yet, like, he had 8 shots on goal. He's doing just about everything right. It's one of these situations where you just keep doing what you have been doing. Keep with the program. Don't change anything in terms of the style that you're playing. And it's going to start to come for him. I think it would be great to see that happen tonight.
And just the team's frustration level after two games against Dallas and Seattle, plus the fact that it was a 1-2 homestand. Is that feeding into their motivations for tonight? They know they need to rectify, but also the fact that they felt they probably could have gotten more out of that homestand?
You're probably right. I think the other side of it in the NHL is you almost have to forget about it because you've got this game to worry about and that's it. You know, at least that's what they try to convince themselves of. But sure, it's in the back of their mind. I think that they wanted to give the fans a nice win before Christmas. They weren't quite able to do that. That bugs them. And so being able to do it here in Vegas is probably the next best thing because I don't know any Sharks fans that wouldn't enjoy a victory in this building.
Speaking of victories in this building, I'm thinking we had the Thomas Bortolo shootout winner. We had Game 6 Tomas Hertl. Is there another memorable win in this building that I'm not thinking of? Those are the two that immediately jump to mind, but this is my first time in this building. I'm excited to see the show, and I would like to see another memorable win, although maybe if it didn't have the same drama as some of those, I wouldn't be frustrated with that either.
No, I wouldn't be frustrated with anything other than a Sharks loss in a bad way, which has happened here a number of times. And that's because of the atmosphere. It's because of the quality of the opponent. The fact that they have home ice advantage, last change, especially in the second period. Those are all little things that come into mind when you come into Vegas. And, back in the so-called day when the Sharks made the playoffs every single year, everybody tells us about it. They still talk about how SAP Center was maybe the toughest building to play in as a visitor, especially because of the first 10 minutes. We're starting to see that come back now with the team getting more success. The fans have really been enjoying it. The energy level is high again. It's getting there again to where it should be. But you have all that here. Your first 10 minutes in this building are tough. And that's something that you have to survive. And I think that, you win the first draw, you get the first hit. Again, that's where players like Toffoli and Reeves and Goodrow and players Mario Ferraro, these are the guys that are going to really help out. And, of course, you get a power play chance, you get any opportunity here, you got to take advantage of it. And that's something else that we're going to look for in the game tonight.
This game, does it mean a little bit more to guys like Reeves and Hertl?
Oh, sure. You always like facing your opponents that you used to play for. You got friends on the other side of the ice. This league is kind of a small world because in one way or another, every team and every game features guys on opposing sides that have either been teammates or played against each other their entire lives because these are the elite players. So they've been elite players since they were kids. And now they're doing it on hockey's biggest stage. But Hertl now has become pretty entrenched here, and he's on a nice little run for this team right now, playing really good hockey. And on the Sharks side of things, as I said, Reeves has been on that consistent line. Barkley Goodrow, of course, every time he sees a Vegas uniform, has got to have the memory of Game 7 in his mind. And these are all little things that get everybody excited about the game. Not just the fans who remember it all, not just the broadcasters, as we're here to talk about it, but also the players themselves. These are the things that make them want to come back and play some more.
I think that it is fair to say for the broadcasters, because I think this rivalry is starting to churn once again. And I think for you, you're excited to add more moments of drama to those calls that have already been part of the narrative for this rivalry.
Well, I guess now that you have said it in that way, if the rivalry is starting to churn again, maybe Chernyshov will get his first NHL goal tonight. That's a good thing to think about.
The churn and burn aspect. Is that what we're calling it?
Going to do.
Dan, thank you so much for your time, and I'll be joining you tonight on the broadcast here at T-Mobile Arena, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock go time, as the Sharks have their final game before the Christmas break. Dan, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ted.
We did speak with head coach Ryan Warsawski after this morning's morning skate, and one of the changes he mentioned with the lineup was that Ethan Cardwell was going to be in, and I asked him what he's seen with Cardwell up to this point, and he talked a lot about his pace, which I think is important against a team like Vegas, who can move the puck so well, who has so much experience, who has so much ability. You're going to need that speed and that pace of play to try and disrupt their passing lanes and try and make life difficult for them, because this Vegas team, even if they are dealing with some injuries, they are going to be difficult to deal with. And that's, again, a big part of why they have been successful. When they get injured, they have depth, they have guys to turn to. And that's actually something that's being tested right now with San Jose. Graf, if he had gone down, we don't know what the corresponding move would have been. But, we talked a couple weeks ago about how deep this forward grouping is for San Jose, but
They have been without Will Smith now for a bit, and he's still week to week in his evaluation process there without Phil Kuryshev, you know, and then Colin Graf goes down, and then suddenly that depth gets tested. It's great that you're seeing something from Igor Chernyshov and getting an idea of what he is as a player, but you know, injuries matter, and those are something to pay attention to the deeper and deeper we get into this year, where the Sharks continue to contend for a playoff spot. We are out of time. Pre-game 6:30, go time 7 o'clock tonight from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Join Dan Rusinowski and myself for the call on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.